Last week we briefly looked at the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, and the changes that will come because of those choices. We looked at a few scriptures, we quoted the scriptures out, and I'm just wondering, even this week, the choices that you and I have made, were they in the will of the Lord? Were they glorifying to His name? Perhaps a choice you did make has brought you in a bit of hot water. Well, if you made a mistake, it's not too late to get it right before God. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord is in the forgiving business. Did you know that? Praise God for the cross. Praise God that the penalty of, that our sins deserve, which is God's wrath, has been dealt with. All who believe and have faith in Him is done, is dusted. Praise the Lord. But God is still in the redeeming business. He's still picking me up from the pit sometimes. My own trouble, my own mistakes, my own folly. He's a God of redemption. He's not a God of condemnation. That's the arch enemy's job, to condemn. To tell you you're absolute rubbish and there's no hope. That you're beyond God's redemption. That's Satan's job. But God's job, God's message to you and to me is, if you search me with all of my heart, if you come to me humbly and in repentance, if you admit your mistakes, if you'd admit your sin, if you'd admit when you've given place to wrath, to anger, to self, to lack of control, if you admit when you've gossiped, when you have not loved as you should have loved, God will help you. He will forgive you. And He'll give you the heart, if you're willing, to change. Blessed be His name. Do you know what Jesus said to His disciples, and He says to you and to me, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. My peace I give to you. Nor does the world give I unto you. This peace comes from a relationship with God the Father. I don't know if any of you want this morning the peace of God, that peace which He gives, the world cannot give. Do you know, friends, we are called in the Bible, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the descriptions that are given to you, that's given to me, is that of saint. Wow. Sometimes we don't feel very saintly. But we are saints in God's sight. We're called, we're chosen to be saints. And that means that in this world, we should be living, as the Bible exhorts us, to be aliens. We're strangers in this world. And it's not the will of God that we should be distracted from this, that we are here for the glory of God and to build His kingdom. The arch enemy's job is to distract us. Sometimes he distracts us by loading us and overwhelming us with all sorts of cares, worries and anxieties. We get distracted, we forget that we're a child of the heavenly King. And we become just as if we've never been born again, that Christ is no longer living in us. Look, let me tell you, folk, our foe, the archenemy, has had over 6,000 years of messing with humans. He ain't given up yet. But soon, the God of peace will crush him under your feet. Hallelujah. The God of peace. My peace I give unto you. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're saints. God has given us a short time to live here upon earth. Yet upon this short time depends our eternity. God has given us just a short time. The scripture tells us, reminds us that life is like a vapor. But how we spend this short time, whether we're in relationship and in faith and being obedient to Christ's commands, and Christ says, look, if you're a follower, if I'm living in you, if you've humbled yourself before me, the Lord says, and humble yourselves between each other, my commands are not burdensome. Because he says, my yoke is not a heavy yoke, it's a light yoke. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. I don't know if you're trying to save your life from suffering. Well, of course, we do not want to suffer ill health. We don't want to suffer poor finances and so on and so forth. But there is a suffering which is pleasing to the Lord. It builds character in us. It's a suffering for doing good. It's a suffering for following Jesus. If you suffer for doing good, this is commendable. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, we read in Acts chapter 5, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. That suffering is commendable. And if you want the peace of God, and if you're going to live a godly life, you will suffer, because there will be opposition. Opposition from our arch enemy. Opposition even from family and friends at times, because you're putting Christ first. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, I have not come to do my will, but your will, O Father. And we've come. We're here as born-again believers to do the will of God. You know, Jesus hates it when we practice disobedience. There's so much instruction in this precious book. My word is a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. Those who are foolish will turn to their own ways, but the wise, the prudent, will follow God's. And although it may cause you difficulty and challenges, this is why Jesus said, if you come to me, count the cost. It is worth it. It is worth it. Because eternity of being with Christ and reigning with him, rejoicing in him, having the fellowship that has at times been so intermittent here below, we will see Jesus. Hallelujah, with nothing in between. But if you're disobedient to the Lord, if you do not have faith in him, then the opposite is true. You'll be out of fellowship with God, and it's in a place called hell. A terrible place. Jesus says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And I thank God, as you have done, I'm sure, for this simple ceremony this morning, the breaking of bread, which reminds us that Christ Jesus came into the world. The hymn writer says, I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God. My peace I give unto you, Jesus says. After all, he is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Praise the Father for this imperishable gift of grace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Will you turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 14? Dear Lord God, I'm sitting here this morning because I want to hear your voice. Will you quicken your word to me? Will you change me? You know, Lord, the troubles, the anxieties, the fear, which has caused me to almost lose sight of you, that I've felt abandoned. Will you speak to me through your word, Lord, that I will be willing to follow you, whatever the cost, to do the right thing by you, Lord, even if the world does not understand. I'm believing this morning, Lord, that you will bring peace to the troubled conscience. I believe this morning, Lord, that the one who has been trying to achieve salvation through their own strength, through their own merits, but has struggled, you want to bring your peace, your reconciliation. Thank you, Lord, that Christianity, what you have given to us, is not so much works, it's what you have done for us, for me. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14 and verse 1. This is God's word. This is Jesus speaking. Pray right now that the word of God will get through where the Daily Mail never will. If you read some of the papers, they will just bring fear to you with no answers. They will point out what is wrong in society, what is going absolutely pear-shaped, and what the prospects are. They have a job to do. They will never point out what the remedy is. They will never lead you to the peace that God can give. That's why we read the Word of God. This is God's Word. He said that my Word will not return to me void, empty. It will accomplish that which I please. Ask the Lord now for faith to believe His Word. Faith pleases God. Without the hearing of the Word, you will not have faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Whatever your situation this morning, whether you feel a complete failure, a has-been, or whether you feel right in the center of God's purposes, this is God's Word. That you and I will be more than ever determined to make good choices, good decisions that are pleasing to Him, walking by faith, not by sight, enjoying the peace of God. This is God's Word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I can just sense the shepherd, the pastor's heart of Jesus as he was talking to his disciples. They were troubled. They couldn't believe that he was going to, they couldn't accept he was going to have to die and that he was going to then leave them. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus is speaking to you, to me this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. But you have to believe in God. Thomas said to him, verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him, you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Friends, that's God's word for 2015. That's God's word for you. That's God's word for me. It's God's word for the saints, for the aliens, the pilgrims. I will read it again. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Oh, this is God's word as well. I don't know if you're going to believe it, or whether you're going to say, well, it's not for me, or I can't trust it. Well, you'll have to answer for your unbelief, friend. Whatever you ask in my name, you see, the name of Jesus, not for you to consume on your lust or for your own pleasure, whatever you ask in his name, that's going to glorify him and will produce fruit in your life for the glory of Christ and the edification and good of others. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Sometimes we end our prayer, don't we? For Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake, amen, amen, depending on your tradition. But it's more than just, you know, closing words. If we're truly praying, it's all for Christ's glory. We're doing it for Jesus' name. Thank God that he said, look, I'm presently, the book of Hebrews tells us, I'm presently with my Father. I'm sitting at his right hand, Jesus is. He says, I'm the throne of grace, the throne of prayer, the prayer room. Access to God is open. I'm there making intercession for you. I'm praying for you. Blessed be his name. I'm praying that you will be strengthened in the inner man. I'm praying that you will be faithful to me. I'm praying that you will not give in to temptation. I'm praying that you will live a victorious life. I'm praying that you will be an overcomer. I'm praying that God's will, as in his word, will be your will as well. I'm praying that you will be a doer rather than just a hearer. I'm praying that you will complete the course and say, I fought the good fight of faith. I'm ready now. I'm ready now to meet my Lord. I'm ready now to receive that crown of righteousness. I'm ready to lay down my crowns at the feet of Jesus and say, it's all of grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? Are you doing the things which please him, putting Christ first, bringing your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, being good citizens, loving as you have been loved, forgiving as you have been forgiving, loving not the world or the things of the world, because they will consume your time and your energy and take you and distract you from the things which God has called you to do. Does that mean you cannot have pleasure, that you can't enjoy a holiday, that you can't relax at the cricket match? No, it doesn't mean that. But make sure they don't take your time, that you're using your time profitably. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. And see verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit leads you into the truth. Have you asked the Lord to lead you into his truth? If you're in his truth, you will not be taken in by deception. Hallelujah. If you're in his truth, you'll be able to distinguish the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the evil one. The evil one who dresses himself up as a minister of righteousness, as an angel of light. You'll be able to discern. You'll be able to test the spirits because you're in the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. That's what he's promised to give you. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, who is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and I will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. Hallelujah. Are you an alien? Are you a pilgrim in this life? Christ lives in you. He wants you to complete the race. Hallelujah. For his glory, he wants you to be victorious and overcomer. This is the will of God. He wants you to know that peace of God. Whatever turmoil you may be going through, he can give you peace. Last night, for different reasons, I had 1 hour sleep. That's all. Maximum. But I know the promise of the Lord. I lay my head down, and he will give me rest. I know the promise of the Lord, and this is what I was quoting to the Lord. I may not be sleeping, but I pray your peace. What I'm bringing before the people this morning, you give it to me now. The God of Israel, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Hallelujah. He's working on my behalf. He's working on your behalf. This is the God we love, we worship. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Friends, we must keep his commandments. And it's not just referring to the moral law, the Ten Commandments. There's so much instruction in the New Testament, in the epistles, that Christ wants us to love, to live by. Hallelujah. The promises, they are yea, they are yes in Christ. They're for us. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Friends, Christ wants to be manifested in you and me. Some of our prayers, as we've been praying as a congregation, as a community, particularly with the view of what God has already spoken to us, we don't have any doubt. The elders, Philip, the core team, those who have been praying, we have no doubt that God is saying, build, extend, extend the borders. We have no doubt about that. God has spoken. And one of the reasons is that this is an ark. It will increasingly be an ark for the weary, an ark for the tried, an ark for those who've been oppressed and burdened, an ark for those who've been abused, an ark for those who want to know the truth, who perhaps are listening to lies or half-truths. They want the truth. It will be an ark for those who say, I need to be saved. I need Christ Jesus. And one of the prayers that we have been praying, which we believe the Lord has said to us, that we will be a people increasingly, individually, but collectively, because we can't be collectively unless it's in me and in you, that it will be noised abroad. These people have been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. This is God's favour on us, but we need to be obedient. We need to be hearing him. We need to yield our lives and surrender our lives, as we sung in our last hymn the previous Sunday. I surrender all. And then God gets the glory and he fills us with his love, his grace, and his will. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I'm saying it again, friend. What sort of home are you giving to Jesus? What sort of temple is he dwelling in? Christ is in the renovation and the restoration business. Hallelujah. that which is imperfect he can make more perfect for his glory. Are you willing to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus? Why are you still thinking worldly thoughts and unbelief is just rampant? Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before each other. Humble. I've mentioned several times already this morning about we are strangers, we're aliens, we're pilgrims. That's because God wants us, as he wants Israel and wanted Israel to be a holy people. A holy people. People pleasing to him. This is how God's favour and blessing, as we said last week, choose life. Don't choose death. Choose the way of blessing, not the way of cursing. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Listen to this verse, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is the word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Jim, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, may not do, but I know one who does. And I know the one who holds your future. I know the one who has the key in his hand for you. Trust him. God is greater than any problem you have. Just make sure you're aligned to his purposes. You need to humble yourself, and you will. Without holiness, we cannot see God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. He will exhort you. He will lift you up. Do it his way. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. He will direct your path. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. That's John chapter 20, verse 21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. Paraphrasing Psalm 46, which is a wonderful, beautiful psalm. This is my paraphrase. Let the seas roar, and the earth be shaken, and all things go to ruin and confusion. Yet the soul that adheres to God will remain safe and quiet and shall not be moved forever. There's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of fear. We know that the evil one is just stirring up hatred, and he has his designs. I've shared with some of you, I preached to Clapham about the other day, Clapham Junction that is, about what I believe the enemy is orchestrating in the terror, the violence, and then all the coming together of people, as we saw in France, the many, many millions coming together, not just in France, but in other cities, including London, etc. And what is coming out, and you understand it from the world's perspective, you understand it from the political perspective, you understand it from the society's perspective, that we're one and we've got to embrace each other and not fall out over religion, which we obviously shouldn't do, but we're all going one pathway, and Satan is in this orchestrating what the Bible calls, what we know as the one world government, the one world religion. This is what's being orchestrated. Fear will drive us into the enemy's camp, and it's a false peace, not the peace that the Lord gives. What God designs is that we turn to the Lord. He is our refuge. He is our strong defense. He's our tower. The righteous run into him. They are safe. That's God's will, okay? So we must do it. So, friends, if Psalm 46 is correct, and if the words that I've spoken from the Bible are correct, you needn't panic. Don't talk defeat or give in to despair. You don't need to panic. Don't talk defeat. Don't give in to despair. In your home, in your relationships, be seeking to obey the word of the Lord. There's crazy things going on, but God is willing that you will not only survive, but you will overcome. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. One writer said, Alexandra McLaren, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. And the God of peace, Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Friends, it's all because of his love. I pray each and every one of you will have heard the voice of the Lord this morning. You will be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You can have the assurance of his love and his peace. Amen.